Here is thy Radio Theater Channel podcast for download. The RTC still has the old timeth radio on live at streaming. And if to be true tis music thee loveth, tune in to the RTC Music Channel. Thee can findeth links to both channels and more on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome one and welcome all to the Radio Theater Channel's Thanksgiving Parade of Shows 2021. I'm your host, Smilin' Spike Standish, here on the parade route where I've been told that any moment now the parade will begin. The sidewalks lining the streets are packed with lots of eager onlookers of all ages waiting in anticipation. And it seems their patience is about to be rewarded. I have just seen the beginning of the parade turn the corner and come this way. And who is it that begins this year's Thanksgiving Parade of Shows? Why, it's the great man himself, that much-beloved Water Commissioner of Summerfield, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, along with his family and friends.
Kraft presents the great Gildersleeve. Each week at this time from Hollywood, California, Kraft presents Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, written by Leonard L. Levinson. We'll hear from the Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. But first, remember the saying, an army marches on its stomach? Well, nowadays, battles are won not by armies alone, but by entire populations. For total defense, we all must have plenty of the right kind of food. That means wholesome, nourishing food. Food that produces the energy we use up in hard work and play. That's why Parquet margarine, the quality margarine made by Kraft, should be an important item on your shopping list. Because Parquet margarine is an economical source of important food elements we all need. Parquet margarine not only has delicious flavor that makes it a favorite for table use, baking, and pan frying, Parquet margarine is a highly nutritious food. One of the best energy foods you can serve. What's more, every pound of Parquet contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. So why not give your family the benefits of this wholesome, nourishing food and start serving them Parquet margarine now? They'll like its flavor. You'll know it's good for them. So tomorrow, ask your dealer for Parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. And now let's visit our friend, the great Gildersleeve.
Well, my goodness, Bertie, the ashtrays are all empty for once. What is this, some special occasion?
For me it is, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'd like to have the evening off.
Oh, is this your night to leave early?
No, sir, but I'd sort of like to get an advance on next week's night off.
Oh, yes. Any reason why not, Marjorie?
Oh, not at all. Go ahead, Bertie.
Thanks. I wouldn't ask, only we've got spectacular things tonight down at our lodge.
Oh.
That's the mysterious and bewildering orders of the Daughters of Cleopatra.
Yeah, our Bertie's the head sphinx.
Not no more, Leroy. I'm now the exhausted ruler of the pyramid. I've been promoted.
Yeah, I see. Does that make you the head man?
No, sir. I'm practically a stowaway on the royal barge of the ancient Nile.
Yes.
And ahead of me comes the major domus of the outer chamber of the inner sanctum.
Yes.
Then the chief searcher in the bulrushes for the daughters of Pharaoh.
Oh, yes.
And above her comes the royal rejecter of delinquent daughters.
Yes. Well, isn't there a queen, Bertie?
Mr. Gildersleeve, in our organization, every gal's a queen.
Oh, my pardon.
Well, what are you holding tonight, Bertie? An initiation?
No, ma'am. It's the red, white, and blue fish fry in order of, to honor a group of our visiting soldier boys.
Oh, yeah.
The daughters of Cleopatra is all 100% Americans.
Well, that's a fine thing, Bertie, entertaining your soldier friends.
Yes, sir. We've even hired a military jitterbug band.
Mm.
The brown-skinned bully Woogie Bugle Boys.
Well, Go right ahead. And if you want to take anything from the pantry for the fish fry, help yourself, Bertie.
Yes.
Yeah, you may want to broil a couple of cans of sardines.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Gilson.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
Say, Unc, you know something?
Leroy, I wish you wouldn't keep using that expression. Of course I know something. But what is it?
Well, I was reading in the paper where there's going to be about 1,000 soldiers in Summerfield over Thanksgiving.
Yes?
Well, let me see. Yeah, here it is.
Well, city will play host to 32nd Regiment Thursday. USO urges all citizens to invite Army men to dinner.
That's what I mean. Can we have a soldier for our Thanksgiving dinner, Uncle Morris?
Leroy, you sound like a cannibal.
Oh. Leroy. You mean, can we invite a soldier to come to dinner?
Yes, and I think it's a splendid idea.
Oh, then we're going to have one?
Why, of course. When I think of all those boys, many of them so far away from home, it takes me back to the lonesome Thanksgiving I spent in an Army hospital back in 1918.
Gee, Unc, I never knew you were wounded.
Well, it's something I never talk about.
Well, what happened to you, Uncle Mort?
I was kicked by a mule.
Where were you kicked, Uncle?
In the customary place. That mule kicked me so high, they gave me a pilot's license. You know, I spent 3 weeks in bed, flat on my stomach. In those days, I had a flat stomach. But remember, kiddies, never mention a word of this to anybody. It's still a painful subject. Even now, I twitch when I pass a mule.
Gee, Uncle Mort, where did this happen, in France?
No, Leroy, in Missouri. I was buying mules for the Army. Sort of talent scout for jackasses. Yeah. Well, anyway, I got 9,000 of them before one of them got me.
Hey, I never knew you knew anything about mules.
Oh, yes, Leroy. I had quite an asinine education. Yeah, but that was a long time ago. Let's forget it, children.
Yes. Does that paper say how we go about inviting a soldier for dinner?
Inviting? Let me see. Oh, yes, here it is. Patriotic families who wish to share their Thanksgiving dinner with members of the Army are requested to be at Bacon Square opposite the City Hall before noon Thursday to pick up their dinner guests. The Army men will be bivouacked at the square.
What's bivouacked, Uncle?
A bivouac is a place where barking dogs are cooled off in pup tents. Yes, I got to remember that. Also that word.
Well, but it's very simple.
Huh?
Just one more for dinner, sir.
Yeah.
You can drive down in the morning and pick up one of the boys, Uncle.
Gee, that's going to be keen.
We better ask Bertie if it's all right with her first, though. Oh, Bertie!
Yes, it's all right with me.
That woman's wasting her time as a cook. She'd get a job as an airplane detector.
Say, I have a better idea. Let's have a real celebration. We'll get a couple of extra turkeys and invite 8 or 10 boys.
8 or 10? Won't that be too much trouble, Marjorie?
Oh, no. I'll ask some of my girlfriends to come over.
Girlfriends? Oh, by all means. That'll be jolly for the soldiers, too.
Oh, gee, Unc, the whole idea sounded great till you brought in the girls. Do we have to have girls?
Why not, Leroy?
Yes, what's wrong with them?
Jeepers, don't you think those soldiers are doing enough for their country as it is without wasting their day off with a bunch of silly girls?
And in conclusion, fellow citizens of Summerfield, let me urge you once more on the eve of Thanksgiving to open your hearts and your homes tomorrow to the soldiers visiting our fair city. Yep. Quit popping your bubble gum, Leroy. Especially while I'm rehearsing my radio speech.
Oh, I'm sorry, Unc. I'm doing it unconscious.
Yes, I'm sure you are. Young man, if you keep playing with your gum that way, someday you're going to have a blowout. And remember, you haven't got a spare face.
Finish your talk, please, Uncle Moore.
Well, I don't need to rehearse it anymore, Marjorie. I know that speech backwards.
You do? Let's hear it. I bet it sounds even better backwards.
Yep. Leroy, you keep that up and you're going to get some applause backwards.
You know, I think it's wonderful of you, Uncle Mort, to go on the air tonight and urge everyone to entertain the soldiers.
Well, people have always told me I should be on the radio. They say I sound just like that fellow who used to be with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh, probably some of the girls now.
Oh, wonderful.
Hello, girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hi there,
girls. Cute, aren't they?
Uncle Mort, I want you to meet Betty Wilkins and Mildred Sherman.
Hello,
what lovely friends you have, Marjorie. You should invite them here oftener. Much oftener.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Not at all, my dear. I've always had an eye for redheads.
But Uncle Mort, last year she was a blonde.
Yes. I see. She's got a convertible top.
Gildersleeve, all of us girls think you're simply too tremendous starting these soldier parties.
Oh, he ain't so tremendous. It's that suit he's wearing.
Well, I like him just the way he is, especially that straight military bearing. Yeah. After all, he was an army man, you know.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
What branch of the service were you in?
You flew, didn't you?
For a short time.
What kind of a plane did you use?
A plane? It's an old Jenny.
And you were wounded, too, weren't you?
Oh, dear. Whereabouts were you wounded, Major Gildersleeve? At the front?
No, it was in the...
Leroy.
I was just going to tell him it was in the middle of...
Leroy!
But, Uncle, you told me yourself you were wounded right smack in the middle of Missouri.
Oh. Yes, that's right, in Jefferson City, Mo.
But even so, you were lucky to have recovered.
Yes. Everybody said I had a horseshoe in my hip pocket. I didn't get rid of it either till they operated.
Well, what were you doing in the Army when you weren't flying, Major?
Well, I was sort of a recruiting officer. Yes, I brought more than 9,000 recruits into the field artillery alone. I got a kick out of it, too.
Imagine that must have been a lot of fun.
Of fun? Well, only at the beginning, my dear. I got awfully tired in the end.
Hey, Uncle, isn't it time for you to go to the radio station?
By George, you're right, Marjorie. Leroy, you want to come along?
Well, I'd like to, Uncle, but I got a little surprise of my own for tomorrow. I'm going over to Piggy Banks' house.
Oh, say, while you're there, Leroy, remind Piggy's sister Penny about coming tomorrow.
If you mean that Piggy Banks has a sister named Penny Banks?
Yes. Uh-huh. She was named after Aunt Penelope, who lived in Indiana. Abby is one of the...
Don't tell me, Marjorie, I know. One of the banks of the Wabash.
Look, Piggy, how's about lending me your bugle?
Oh, I don't know, Meatball. What you want with it?
I need it for Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Oh, you got the wrong instrument. On Thanksgiving, you play with drumsticks. Now beat it.
Oh, for corn's sake. Look, Pig, the reason I want it is because we're going to have a lot of soldiers for dinner.
So what? We're having our cousin Rockwell. He's a city alderman.
Oh, what's a measly old alderman? My uncle used to be a big shot in the Army. A major in the Missouri Mules.
What you mean?
Oh, well, that's what they called his outfit. Say, he recruited the toughest, meanest, frightenest outfit that ever come out of Missouri.
What kind of outfit was it?
A field artillery. You know, the cannoneers with hairy ears.
Do they really have hairy ears?
Oh, brother.
I still can't see that this got anything to do with borrowing my bugle.
Gee, you're dumb. I gotta make these soldiers feel at home so they can enjoy the turkey dinner. I'm gonna blow mess call on your bugle.
Oh, I get you. That's a keen idea, Meatball.
Now will you lend it to me?
Sure.
Well, now there's only one thing I gotta do.
What's that?
I gotta learn how to play a bugle.
My, those turkeys sure look good, Bertie. You don't happen to have a spare leg, do you?
No, sir, but I sure could use one with all the running around I've got to do.
No, Bertie, I mean a spare turkey leg.
No, sir. I ain't going to subdivide none of them birds before the zero hour.
Oh.
And when I serve them, they're going to be intact. A thing of beauty and a joy for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. How about some stuffing, then?
Nobody's going to do no stuffing no how till everybody does.
Yes.
And that includes stuffing yourself with stuffed olives, too.
Oh, yeah. You talking to me?
Yes, sir. I've hardly got enough olives now to spell out welcome 32nd Regiment into mashed potatoes.
You know, people have been coming to the door all morning asking for soldiers for dinner just because you went on the radio last night.
Yeah, but I told them to go down to Bacon Square. Jumping jeeps, what's that?
Oh, it sounded like it came from the living room.
Well, it can't be anything serious. Then again, maybe it can. I'll find out right away. Leroy! What are you doing?
Learning how to blow a mess call, Unc.
Was that mess call? Sounded more like a moose call.
Boy, won't those soldiers be surprised when they hear me blowing the bugle?
Yeah, and won't you, too.
Oh, gee, give me a little time. All I need is practice.
Yeah?
I heard in school that Grace Moore practices 6 hours a day.
Yeah, a lot of good it does her. I bet she still can't play the bugle. Well, it's a sweet thought, Leroy, even if your music is sour. Oh, there's a doorbell. I'll get it, folks.
Excuse me, please. Is this the gentleman who was speaking last night by the radio from Soldiers for Thanksgiving?
Yes, madam.
Permit me to introduce myself. Mrs. Shapiro, glad to meet you.
How do you do, Mrs. Shapiro? Glad to meet you. What can I do for you?
Well, I got right now in the oven a nice young kosher turkey, and I am wanting a soldier who is likewise.
Ew. I'm sorry, Mrs. Shapiro, but I haven't anything to do with these soldiers officially. You'll find them down at Bacon Square.
Please! If the soldier boy I'm looking for is at Bacon Square, then he's not the soldier boy I'm looking for. No. Goodbye!
Boss, you started downtown yet? You better get going. It's almost 12.
Oh, all right, just as soon as I get my coat and hat. And Leroy. Leroy, come on if you're going downtown with me.
Okay, here I come.
Oh, stop that for a little. Young man, what are you doing swimming around in my old army uniform?
Gee, Unc, that's part of the surprise. How do I look?
You and the mothballs look fine.
Oh, girls, come in here and see Leroy.
Looks cute at that.
Look, he's got Uncle's uniform on, and it's all pinned up.
Isn't it cute the way the britches almost reach to the floor and back?
Oh, Major Gildersleeve, why don't you put it on?
Oh, I'm sorry, girls. But I couldn't get into that uniform if it were three times as big as it is now and I was twice as small as I am. Which would still be half again as large as the suit would be if it were double the size of what it is now, which it isn't, thank goodness. Because if it was, I'd have to wear it, and I can't because it doesn't fit. Leroy, with all those girls coming over to our house this afternoon, I'm going to have to ask for about 12 soldiers instead of 8.
Oh, that'll be super, Unc.
Huh?
Hey, look at all those tents. Gee, where are all the soldiers?
Oh, they must be inside.
Say, you don't think they've all been invited out already, do you?
Leroy, you get the most fantastic ideas. Hello, where is everybody? How do you knock on a pup tent?
There's nobody in here, Unc.
Oh, my goodness, nobody home. Leroy, get away from that cannon before it goes off and takes you with it. Why did we wait so long? If all these pup tents are empty, I'm certainly going to be in the doghouse.
Hey, Uncle Mort, here comes a soldier. Shall we invite him?
Yes, of course. A soldier?
Yeah?
How would you like to come over to my house for dinner now?
Oh, I don't know.
We're going to have a...
Hey, wait a minute. You leave this boy alone. He's coming home to dinner with me.
Is that so? Don't you try to rustle my recruit. I saw him first.
Oh, no, you didn't. I saw him first.
You did not. I saw him at least 20 seconds before you did.
Mister, I saw this boy 20 years before you did. He's my son.
You...
Come on, boy. Mom's waiting.
Yeah, Mom's waiting. Oh, my goodness. Leroy, if I don't bring back a bevy of boys for that gang of girls, my goose will be cooked instead of my turkeys.
Hey, let's look in this big tent. Maybe somebody's here.
Huh?
Oh, hello, mister.
Hello.
This is the mess tent, Leroy. Hello, Sergeant. Leroy, this is the mess sergeant. Where can I find some of your boarders, Sergeant?
They've deserted me. And after I've been working my fingers to the bone over a hot stove all morning.
Oh.
You mean they've all been invited to homes already?
Everybody, including my dishwasher.
Oh, Leroy, we're sunk.
You're sunk? What about me? 50 gallons of the finest turkey a la King made from a special recipe created by Prudence Penny. 20 dozen dainty Parker House rolls that couldn't be topped by Parker House himself. And 32 mince pies made out of the tenderest part of the mince.
Yeah. Well, I can sympathize with you, Sergeant, but maybe you can help us.
How?
Well, it just so happens that we've gotten ourselves in something of a mess, Sergeant. We have 3 turkeys and almost a dozen beautiful girls at our house, just waiting to entertain some soldiers.
Yeah, you should see the cookies that are waiting for the rookies.
You'd have a wonderful time at our house, Sarge. How about taking off that apron and coming with us?
I'm sorry, sir, but I'm on duty.
Yeah?
Like the captain of a ship, everybody else can leave. but I gotta get down with me pot.
Gee, that's too bad. Come on, Unc.
Before you go, I got just one slight request I'd like to make. Would you please take a taste of my turkey a la King?
Well, I don't think I...
Oh, come on. Huh? Just one teensy-weensy little taste.
Well.
Just so I didn't labor all morning in vain.
Yeah.
Here.
You're conscientious, isn't he, Leroy? Well, thank you.
You have some, son?
Thank you, but it has spoiled my appetite for dinner. And I've been saving this appetite for a week.
How do you like it, mister?
Well, I think I'll have a little more.
Oh, no, Uncle Mort. Come on, we gotta dig up some soldiers.
You're right, Leroy. Are you sure you won't come with us, Sarge?
No, buddy. Duty is duty. And besides, the colonel would be sure to catch me if I sneaked out.
Oh, the colonel? I'll bet he's got a few soldiers up his sleeve. Where can I find him?
Way over there at the other end of the square, sitting in his tent.
Yes, yes. Well, come on, Leroy. We'll lay our troubles in his lap.
Yes, yes, I'm Colonel Atterbury. What can I do for you?
Colonel, my name is Gildersleeve.
Oh, yes, very unusual name. What can I do for you?
Colonel? I have a lovely big home, a wonderful cook, and a dozen of the sweetest girls in Summerfield.
What, no boys?
No, that's the trouble. No boys. We get all prepared to entertain 10 or 12 soldiers at dinner today, and when I come down to pick them up, what do I find? No soldiers. Not a single solitary rear rank third assistant buck private.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sorry, he gargles. By George, this is a pretty pickle for our army to get itself caught over a barrel into.
Yeah, and after I've been practicing mess calls all day, too.
Yes, the poor little fellow almost blew his brains out.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Gildersleeve.
So I think I know you from some place.
Huh? Yes?
Yes, I can't place your face, but your manners are awfully familiar.
Yeah.
Well, never mind. As soon as some of our men return, I'll send them out to your house.
Sure. Huh? That's just the old brush off. I'm just stubborn enough to stay right
stubborn.
Here.
Stubborn? That's it. I've got it. Huh? Mules. That's where I know you from. You were stuck again, Gildersleeve. The officer who bought more bad mules than the whole artillery could shake a stick at.
Why, you... Don't pay any attention to the way he jokes, Leroy. Great kidders, these army men. Well, Colonel, now that you recognize me, I hope you'll trot out some suitable recruits for us to take home.
Gildersleeve, I've got just the right detachment for you.
Yeah, wonderful. Who are they?
Some old friends of yours. Huh? Whole corral full of mules. They'd just love to be your guest.
Come on, Leroy. Let's get out of here.
What am I laughing at? Donna, wish you'd invited me to go to dinner today.
Leroy, you better run along home now and tell the girls I'll bring back some soldiers if I have to call out the Marines.
Okay, Uncle, where are you going now?
I'm going to try the USO headquarters. And if you see any soldiers on the way home, grab them, even if they're wearing Civil War uniforms.
I'll do my best, Uncle Mort. See you when you get home.
Yeah, all right, Leroy. Look who's standing on the corner. Well, hello, Judge Hooker.
Hello, Gildersleeve.
What's wrong? You look as though you've lost your last friend. But of course, I know that happened years ago.
Gildersleeve, I'll thank you to keep your nose out of my business.
I'll be only too glad to. What are you doing hanging around street corners?
Well, it's a long story.
Huh?
I happened to turn on the radio at home last night, and there was a fellow urging everyone to invite a soldier to dinner.
Oh, he did.
Ah, that speaker. There's a man. The way he told every citizen to do his duty by our new army was stirring and inspirational.
It was, eh?
Yes. Why, the first thing I did this morning was phone the best restaurant in town and order the most expensive turkey dinner out to my house. I was going to invite a soldier to share it. That's the effect that speaker had on me.
Well, where is your soldier?
Well, that's where the trouble comes in.
Huh?
People at the USO headquarters tell me that there would have been plenty of them to go around if this radio speaker hadn't wrecked all their plans by urging everybody in town to come down after a soldier.
Oh, my goodness. So that was it. Of all the numbskull notions.
Not a word against that man, Gildersleeve.
Huh?
He made a wonderful impression on me.
Clean
cut. Vibrant personality.
Uh-huh.
One of nature's noblemen, I should judge. Wish I could meet him someday.
Would you really want to?
Yes.
Well, then shake hands.
Oh, you'd like to meet him, too.
Good gracious, no, I am him.
What?
Yeah.
You? Why, you hypocritical hippopotamus?
What?
No. No, that's wrong of me. I've misjudged you, Gildersleeve.
Well, I guess I've misjudged you too, Judge Hooker. I never thought you had a heart under that old thick hide of yours.
No?
No. I just thought your blood circulated because you brought it to a boil so often.
What are you doing roaming the streets on Thanksgiving afternoon, Gildy?
Yeah, same thing as you are, Hooker. Looking for some military men to fight their way through a couple of 20-pound turkeys.
Well, I suppose we do our hunting together, Gildy, old pal.
Why not, old chum? After all, this is Thanksgiving Day, and we should treat each other like human beings for change.
Splendid. That goes for me, too. At least for today.
Yeah, well, come on. You work this side of the street, and I'll take the other side.
All right.
Oh, boy. Wait a moment.
What is it?
Look, here comes a young fellow in uniform now. And I saw him first.
Yes, that's so. Hey, son, come here.
Stop that, you double-crossing little bot fly.
Young man, how'd you like a delicious turkey dinner?
Huh? Who, me?
Yes, he wants you to come up to my house.
I don't either. I'm in my house. I've got a great big turkey just for two of us.
We got four turkeys at our house, and we'll give you a whole one for yourself, son.
Well, gee whiz, I couldn't eat that much. And besides, I'm supposed to report to USO headquarters.
They're closed for the day, Corporal. Come on out to my house.
Oh, but I'm not a corporal.
Of course not, Sergeant. Now, my car's right over here. So if you'll excuse us, Judge.
Nope. Come this way with me, Lieutenant.
You wouldn't like it at his place, Captain.
Oh, now, gentlemen, please. Please, let go of me. Hey, you're tearing my uniform.
Let go of the Major's uniform. Let's trot along.
Okay, if you want to get indigestion. Now, my turkey is...
His turkey is as old as he is and just as tough.
Hey, I wish somebody would tell me what this is all about.
Don't let him confuse you, son. I'll take you to a movie after dinner.
A movie? We're going to have dancing at our house. You'll have 12 beautiful hostesses to dance with.
Oh, who wants to dance on a full stomach?
You do, don't you, son?
Well, gee, I don't know. I never learned.
No time like right after dinner. Come on, that's my car right over there.
Of all the low-down, backbiting, double-dyed, unscrupulous louses, I've had enough. Come back here, young man.
Who, me?
Yes, you. I'm going to start off entertaining you this afternoon by making this fat worm fold up like a roadmap. Here, hold my coat.
I'll be very glad to. No, I won't. Now, see here, Hooker. You point a pinky at me, and I'll beat the daylights out of you and then back in again.
Hey, gee, aren't you two fellas a little too old for this sort of thing?
If you keep out of this. Who invited you to... Say, I invited you. Come on, let's go home.
No, you don't, Gildersleeve. I'm going to knock you colder than an Eskimo mother-in-law's kiss.
Why? You old... Oh. What's the use of quarreling like this? If you've got your heart set on taking this young man home, Judge, I won't stand in your way.
Yeah, but haven't I anything to say?
No. Gildersleeve, do you mean this?
Yes, Judge. Go on, get your car. Hurry up now before I change my mind.
All right. You just wait right here, soldier. I'll be back in a jiffy, and then we'll have a wonderful dinner.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, Gildy.
Gee whiz, mister. You got me all confused. Do I have to have dinner with that other gentleman?
With that old goat? Of course not.
Huh?
Wait till he turns the corner. All right, come on. Now run like anything.
But the judge went that way.
I know that. My car's this way. Hurry up, boy.
Huh?
There they are now. Come on, girls. Let's go to the front door. Come on. Bertie, get things ready. Leroy, there's your cue.
Well. Here we are at last. Step right in, son, and meet everybody.
Gee, thanks.
Girls, this is Jerry Arnold, Private Jerry Arnold of the United States Army.
Oh, no, sir.
Oh, you're not a private?
Oh, no, sir. I'm not even in the Army.
What? You're not?
Why, no, sir. I'm a Boy Scout.
Oh!
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few minutes. But right now, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving next Thursday or the week after, there's one thing that's the same everywhere. Yes, that turkey's going to taste mighty good with all its trimmings and fixings. And we all want to remember that we Americans still have plenty to be thankful for. And another thing that's certain, if you make your Thanksgiving cakes and pastries and cookies with parquet margarine, you're going to get plenty of compliments on their downright good taste. You see, the delicious flavor that makes parquet margarine so popular for table use makes it wonderful for baking, too. Yes, as sure as parquet is a delicious spread, it's a genuine flavor shortening, too, not a bland, tasteless fat. Parquet adds flavor to pan-fried foods, too, and it doesn't spatter or stick to the pan. So serve parquet margarine at the table. Use it for baking and pan-frying, too. Remember, you can use all you want, because parquet margarine is economical and good for your family. Yes, parquet margarine is a wholesome, nourishing energy food and a reliable source of vitamin A. So right now, add parquet margarine to your shopping list. Remember, it's parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y.
Sorry, our time's up. Happy Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Never let it be said that the great Gildersleeve isn't welcoming to guests around the holidays. And what better way to entertain those guests than with beautiful music? Following up behind Gildy is Music from the House of Squibb, featuring Betty Mulliner.
To your good health, from the House of Squibb. And for your good health, to help you relax and renew the energy all of us need these days, the House of E.R. Squibb and Sons, manufacturing chemists to the medical profession for over 85 years, brings you the music of Lynn Murray, directing the Squibb Orchestra and Chorus of Stars. For your pleasure, on the eve of Thanksgiving, the song Daybreak. The voice is the Squibb Chorus of Stars.
Daybreak, another new day. The mist on the meadow is drifting away. For it's daybreak, the sun's in the sky now.
Melody Nevermore from Noel Coward's conversation piece, sung by Betty Mulliner and the Squibb Quintet.
Kept so much familiar world is great. Evermore, evermore, our hearts are in the place. Our love may regain your freedom, both for you and me.
Here's something you wives may not know about husbands. The average man spends more money with his barber than with his dentist. And yet, a man's health depends a great deal on the condition of his mouth and teeth. So make sure that your husband visits the dentist regularly, just like the children. And you can help in another way, too, by getting Squibb tooth powder for the whole family to use daily. This improved tooth powder neutralizes mouth acids wherever it finds them. Squibb Laboratories have also given it an ingredient that makes it cling to your brush for better cleaning. Although Squibb tooth powder costs no more than other powders, you'll taste and feel the refreshing difference. You can depend on Squibb tooth powder to help you polish your teeth safely and effectively. To your good health again on Thanksgiving Eve, presenting the Squibb Orchestra under Lynn Murray's direction. The melody, Badinage by Victor Herbert. chastens and hastens his will to make known. The prayer of thanksgiving. The voices, Eugene Lowenthal and the Squibb Male Chorus.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing, cease them from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own.
America's prayers will go up tomorrow for our fighting men, wherever they may be. In the midst of war, we still have many things for which we can be grateful. Among them is the fact that thousands of America's sons are alive today who would have died in this war except for the heroic and miraculous work of the medical men and women on our different battlefronts. For the skill, the devotion, and the tireless work of our Army and Navy medical men, our nation can give special thanks. Here's to your good health from the House of Squibb. This is Richard Stark speaking. To Your Good Health from the House of Squibb is presented every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this same time. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was beautiful. Simply beautiful. Our next show in our parade of shows has just turned the corner. It features Peggy Lynch and Margaret Hamilton, as well as the rest of the Baxter household. It's the little things in life.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life.
brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Aunt Maggie, where's Peg? Oh, boy, that turkey smells good.
I just basted it. Peg went down to the village store to get some heavy cream to whip for the pumpkin pie.
I hate whipped cream.
Lots of people like it. Your mother says pumpkin pie isn't pumpkin pie without whipped cream. Frankly, I prefer mince pie anyway.
Oh, there's Peg. Looks as though she's been borrowing some chairs. And guess, Aunt Maggie, who she borrowed them from and who is helping her get them out of the car.
Oh, now, is it Maynard? Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at me. This apron on and a house dress.
Oh, leave it on. It looks nice and warm. And, well, it looks like Thanksgiving to see you bustling about in the kitchen.
Oh, no, come on, Maynard. Let's bring the chairs right in here.
Oh, if it was nice enough to lend us some extra chairs for today.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on in
here. Hello, Maynard.
Hello, Maggie.
Oh, it's been
here, Peg. Let me carry those chairs.
No, let me do it.
Oh, I look terrible.
You look lovely. Just the way you should look Thanksgiving morning.
Close the door.
Yeah, right.
Peg, close the door. Don't let the cold air in.
I am.
That's right. We've really got to save on fuel this winter. The oil situation seems to be getting worse each day.
Maynard, just put the chairs in the dining room here, if you will.
Well, where are you spending Thanksgiving, Maynard?
Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't feel like making any plans this year. My two sons are in California. My brother invited me, but I never could stand his wife.
You weren't planning to eat by yourself.
Oh, no. I don't mean to sound like a pitiful object. I thought I might drive into town, eat out somewhere, take in a movie, maybe.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You planned to eat with us.
Certainly.
Why, of course, Maynard. You can't eat Thanksgiving dinner by yourself.
Well, that's very nice of you, but holidays are for families.
Oh. Well?
Look, Maynard, no arguments now. You're going to eat with us. Just my mother and dad and a couple of aunts and cousins.
There's plenty of food, for goodness sake.
Goodness, Maynard, it is settled. Why, it would spoil my Thanksgiving to think of you eating alone in a restaurant.
Oh, really? Well, I certainly wouldn't want to spoil your day, Maggie, so I'll accept. I guess maybe I was fishing for an invitation anyhow.
Now, let's see. No, we don't need any more chairs. Get two encyclopedias for Kenny Jr. to sit on. But, oh, what is the matter with me? I ran into the minister down at the village store, and they're having a special Thanksgiving service at noon.
I'm not going. The folks will be here. I want to talk to Dad about
Honey,
something.
Honey, your folks won't be here until 2 o'clock at the earliest. I told everyone we'd eat about 3, and I don't want them all underfoot while we're mashing potatoes and turnips and all that.
I don't care. I still don't want to go down to the church.
Listen, the adults are meeting in the church itself, but the children are going to be in the Sunday school rooms in the parish house.
Why are you telling me all this? I have a feeling I don't want to hear it.
You're so marvelous with children.
Never mind the soft soaping. Come to the point.
I know. All right. Ralph Bentley was supposed to give a little talk to the children about Thanksgiving.
Don't tell me. Ralph is sick.
Yes, he suddenly came down with a flu or something.
You don't suddenly come down with a flu. He must have felt rotten yesterday or even the day before. There's plenty
all
of time
right,
to...
All right, so Ralph made up a last-minute excuse to get out of it.
Right. I am not going to substitute, although you have already told the minister that I would do it, haven't you?
He can't find anybody else, dear.
Why do you always volunteer my services without asking me?
Because you'd say no. And you really are so good with children.
It isn't just children, it's everything. Maynard, you know what she did once? She volunteered to give my blood to the Red Cross.
Look, honey, all you have to do is talk to the children about Thanksgiving, just for 10 minutes or so, and I thought of what you can talk about. The first Thanksgiving.
I don't know anything about it. Not something to talk for 10 minutes or so. The pilgrims invited the Indians to have dinner. It takes 3 seconds to say that.
I might make a suggestion, why don't you tell about the real menu that first Thanksgiving?
What do you mean, Maynard? The real menu. Didn't the pilgrims have turkey?
Well, if they did, there's no record of it.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
The pilgrims didn't have turkey?
No, pilgrims had roast duck, roast goose, venison.
Venison is deer, Aunt Maggie.
Well, for heaven's sakes. I know what venison is, really. Why do young people think because somebody is older, they don't know anything?
Sorry, Aunt Maggie. I was teasing.
You weren't teasing at all.
Yes, I was. I like to hear you say, you young people.
All right, you two. Look, I want to hear Maynard. What else did the pilgrims have that first Thanksgiving?
How did you know all this? I've never read they didn't have turkey.
Well, I tell you, sometimes I can't remember my own phone number, but I still remember a theme. We called it that, and that I wrote when I was in the 8th grade. And I got it out of some book in the library. The teacher said my paper was the best in the class.
Oh, I remember. I wrote a paper once on Florence Nightingale.
Aunt Maggie, could we please hear what the pilgrims had to eat? Bob's due at the church at 12 o'clock, and you better make some notes.
Well, why don't you give the talk?
He wants a man.
Maynard, why don't you go down there? You're the one who knows all about it.
Oh, no, not a chance. I'm no good at that sort of thing. Anyhow, the pilgrims had bread, white bread and cornbread. They had clams and other shellfish. They had eels.
Eels, my goodness.
And they had watercress and leeks.
Bob, leeks are sort of mild onions.
I know what leeks are.
Go on, Maynard.
Well, you the do. Pilgrims also had wild plums and dried berries for dessert, all washed down with grape wine, both white and red wine.
And no mention of turkey or cranberries or pumpkin pie.
Oh, no. At least Captain Standish didn't say so, and he wrote a report of what they did have to eat.
Well, I think it's disappointing. Yeah. I think it's much nicer to think of the Pilgrims having turkey and pumpkin pie.
Well, that's not the point, Aunt Maggie, and I think it's far more interesting, and it'll certainly be more interesting to the children to hear what the Pilgrims really had.
Yeah, make some notes, dear. I'll get you some paper and pencil.
What else can you remember, Maynard? I'll need more than that.
Well, Captain Standish shot 5 deer, which was fortunate since 90 Indians showed up, and let's see.
Okay. Peg, call the minister and say I'll do it.
Yeah, well, I already told him that, dear.
I'm sure you did. Okay, you women get on with your cooking, and I'll prepare my fascinating talk to the spellbound children who will hang on my every word.
Everything is certainly delicious.
Now, everybody save room for dessert.
Oh, we are.
Well, isn't anybody going to listen to what a smash hit I was today?
Quiet. Look, everyone, poor Bob's been trying to talk since we sat down.
Well, I was listening. Something about the Pilgrims.
That's right, Aunt Clara. I told the children what the Pilgrims really had to eat for their first Thanksgiving, and they were fascinated. They really were. Sometimes I think I miss my calling, you know. I think I should have been a teacher.
I think we need more hot gravy, dear. Shall I get it?
No, it's too hard for you to scramble out. I'll get it.
It's a warm, wonderful feeling to stand up in front of children, their eyes big as saucers, and realize that you're molding their eager, curious little minds.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Goodness, who can that be? Debbie, you want to get the door, dear?
Oh, sure. Excuse me, can I get out, Uncle Paul?
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
Well, when I taught school before I was married, I never felt I was molding any little mind. All I could do was to get their attention. I remember one boy I had.
He Daddy, was the somebody's worst here to see you.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, really? I thought we had to hold. There's some more hot gravy for us.
Oh, hello.
Baxter. You Robert Baxter?
Yeah, won't you come in?
No, thank you. I can say what I have to say mighty quick. My name is Powers, Gordon Powers' father. And I thank you not to butt in on the education of my son.
Why, what's the trouble? I don't believe I know your son.
I'd like to know where you get off spouting all this stuff about the Pilgrims not having turkey for Thanksgiving.
Close the door in there. Terrible draft.
Yes. Look, my dear Mr. Powers.
I'm not your dear Mr. Powers. I'm a father. And I don't like my son coming home telling me I'm wrong, that I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, everybody knows, except you, apparently, that the Pilgrims had turkey for Thanksgiving, and that's why we celebrate it this way.
Now, look, Mr. Powers, I'm sorry, but actually, there's no record.
Thanksgiving means turkey. I was brought up that way, and I want my kid brought up that way.
Well, it may be traditional, but if you want the facts.
The facts? Who cares about the facts?
Yeah, honey, everybody's absolutely freezing in the dining room. What seems to be the matter out
here? Oh, this is my wife. This is Mr. Powers. He's a little upset about...
A little upset? My kid won't eat dinner. He says, we're not having the right things. And where, may I ask, wise guy, am I going to get venison and wild duck and wild goose and wild plums, to say nothing of eels?
Now, look, I never for one moment suggested to the children that...
Oh, my goodness, what is going on? It's freezing in here.
Look, Baxter, in the future, mind your own business, huh?
What?
Now, I don't care what you tell your children, but leave mine alone.
What?
Now, what was good for my father and was his father and his father's good enough for my son. And that's turkey for Thanksgiving. Good day.
Well,
what was the matter with him?
I guess Bob's little talk to the children went over too well.
My goodness, did you hear that, everybody? This man came to the door, and he was furious because Bob...
Did you hear that, dear? All right, darling, now please don't let it bother you. Come on back to the table. Come on, dear. Oh, now Bob's all upset.
No, I'm not. I just think that guy was stupid.
Listen, Bob, we Americans always prefer tradition to facts. The Battle of Bunker Hill was really fought on Breed's Hill.
And we Norwegians really discovered America before Columbus.
Now, just a minute, Maggie. You forget my grandmother was Italian.
Here we go again. Now, all right, please. Who wants pumpkin pie with whipped cream? Who wants mince pie? Who wants red pie?
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To round out this year's Thanksgiving parade of shows, we have a great big one pulled by a big Ford pickup truck, with Dinah Shore at the wheel and Dennis Day waving from the truck bed. It's the Ford Show with Dinah Shore.
This is the Ford Show, starring Dinah Shore with Peter Lynn Hayes and Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra, and our guest for tonight, Dennis Day. All presented by the Ford Dealers and Lincoln Mercury Dealers of America. And here is Dinah Shore.
Soon or later you're gonna be coming around, I'll betcha. I'll bet you that I get you. You wait and see. Sooner or later you'll want to be hanging around. I'll let you. I'll bet you if I let you, you'll baby me. You're gonna knock on my door. You did it before. Matter of factly, I don't know exactly when, but sooner or later you're gonna be coming around and want my loving again. Coming around and want my loving again.
Good evening, friends. This is Dinah Shore. Welcome to another Wednesday evening Ford Show with Bobby Dolan and his Dixieland 40, our guest, the fabulously naive Dennis Day, and of course, our own Peter Lynn Hayes.
Hello, Dinah.
Hiya, Pete. Say, you know, since tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day, I thought we could
Holy jumping, tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day.
Forgot to, see. What's the matter, fella? No calendar?
Well, I got one of those Esquire calendars. Yeah. Who looks at the date?
Oh, Pete, imagine forgetting Thanksgiving, especially this one. Have you stopped to think, Peter, that for a lot of people, it's the first real Thanksgiving in many years?
Mm-hmm, but I'm getting tired of jokes about Republicans. I've just got to do something about a turkey. How's the butcher situation? Do you have a long wait?
Long wait? Well, at my butcher shop, two of the women ahead of me were pilgrims. Which story is exaggerated a little, but not too much.
Oh, Dinah, there must be millions of people going through this last-minute Thanksgiving hassle. I bet they could use some household hints.
Hey, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, as a public service, Peter, now, I now present last-second Thanksgiving hints. Hello there!
Do you know that chestnut stuffing can be made quickly with breadcrumbs? 20 breadcrumbs will stuff one chestnut.
Hello there. Do you know that a little cleaning fluid added to turkey gravy will prevent it from staining clothes?
And do you know what you can do with leftover pumpkin pie?
And do you know that if you do not have time... time for elaborate preparations, you'll find that roast turkey, mashed potato, squash, salad, dessert, and coffee make a delicious dinner.
Oh, yes. Do you know that you should save turkey feathers? They can be made into quill pens that will write under gravy.
And now for our recipe department, which tonight is devoted to that neglected group of Thanksgiving cooks, the men. So here is Pete Hayes to describe the cooking of a turkey to you men in a style that men can understand. You men.
Good evening, cooking fans. Here we are in the kitchen of an American home about to watch another great turkey feast. Our chef is poised. He looks in great shape. Our turkey is a 20-pounder with a fine lineage. He's by butcher out of kindness of heart. Our chef starts to make the stuffing, and we're off. Into the bowl go the breadcrumbs, the flour, paprika, celery, garlic, sage, marjoram, thyme, and here comes curry powder, garlic again, cinnamon, bay leaf, allspice, nutmeg, ginger, coriander, chili, soybean sauce, tobacco, and Worcestershire. Oh, followed by vinegar, horseradish, mustard, and to give it a little zest, a pinch of salt. We're at the halfway mark with stuffing going in and out of the inside, and garlic out in front by your nose. And here comes mashed potatoes and cranberry sauce, and what have we here? The chef is bringing up a plate of corn and a plate of beans. Oh, there's a spill, and we have a new entry. Succotash. Now here we go again. It's turkey in the oven, mashed potatoes and stuffed with cranberry sauce on the outside. And now it's heating up, and it's still turkey, stuffing and mashed potatoes. And now we're coming toward the finish with turkey on top, stuffing, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce. And here's the winner. Yes, folks, it's everybody's favorite, bicarbonate of soda.
On the same subject, here's Tom Hammond with some sensible remarks. Right, Tom?
Right, Diana. All over the country tomorrow, families are going to be piling into Ford cars to drive to Grandma's for the Thanksgiving feast. Well, if you've had a fall checkup by your Ford dealer, you'll enjoy the comfort of knowing you'll get there. And that is a comfort these days when so many cars are suffering from the infirmities of old age. Your Ford dealer has four can't-be-equal advantages for keeping your car running its very best. First, he has genuine Ford parts, precision made to fit perfectly. Second, his mechanics are factory trained. They know your Ford from A to Z. Third, they use factory approved methods. And last, special Ford equipment. No one else can fill this prescription. No one else knows your Ford so thoroughly. It stands to reason your Ford dealer can service your Ford more expertly, quicker and cheaper too. Visit your dealer soon for a fall checkup. And to get set for the colder weather ahead. For Fords, as well as for holiday family reunions, there's no place like home.
But I call it love.
gentlemen, one of the most exciting happenings in radio this season has been the meteoric rise of a brilliant young tenor with a great flair for comedy. He finally attained his rightful place in the entertainment world, and according to those who tune in on him two evenings each week, he's wonderful.
Gee, which are the two evenings? I'd love to hear him.
Dennis Day, I'm talking about you.
Oh.
Oh, it's good to see you, Dennis.
Hello, Dinah. I'd like to commence by saying that it's a great honor and a privilege to be allowed to be on a program with America's number one radio entertainer.
Why, Dennis, how did you ever think of such a pretty speech?
Nice, huh? It's the first clause of my contract with Mr. Benny.
Dennis, do you mean Jack Benny actually made...
Dinah, please. I will not permit Mr. Benny to be reviled or insulted. I must always bear in mind that whatever I am, I owe to him.
Oh, I...
That's the second clause. Mr. Benny knows every kind of clause.
Except Santa Claus.
Say, that's a joke, isn't it?
Well, if you want to be charitable...
Yeah, I never knew girls tell jokes. Santa Claus.
Well, Dennis, if you don't mind, I'd just as soon go...
Girls ahead. Always say very serious things to me, like drop dead.
Really started something, I guess, huh?
Hello, Dennis.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Hayes, sir. How are you, sir?
Huh?
How are you this evening, sir, Mr. Hayes, sir?
Hey, who am I supposed to be, Whistler's father?
Wait a minute, Dennis. You know Pete only just got out of the Army himself.
Oh, is that so, sir? Tell me, sir, did you see any action, Mr. Hayes?
Yes.
Where?
Bunker Hill.
That's a joke, too, Dennis.
Gee, another joke. Boy, it's sure a thrill to stand here swapping jokes like an adult, not like on Mr. Benny's program.
How do you mean, Dennis?
Oh, they treat me like a baby. They always spell things out so I won't get what they're saying, but I fool them.
I'll bet you did.
Yeah, I found out what G-I-R-L was and K-I-S-S, and one of these days I'm going to find out what they mean by L-S-M-F-T.
Well, Dennis. Don't, Dennis. No, I wouldn't if I were you, Dennis. Your illusions will go up in smoke.
Gee, Dinah, I wish I was hep like Mr. Hayes here. I read where he worked at the Copacabana nightclub in New York.
Oh, that was really nothing, Dennis.
Gee, a nightclub. How did you ever get your mother to let you work there?
I got her a job in the chorus.
Well, my mother has no talent.
See, Pete... You know how strict Dennis's mother is. She won't let him sing the coffee song unless the caffeine's removed. Incidentally, what about a song, Dennis?
Oh, I'd be glad, Dinah, since it's for you and such a fine gentleman as Mr. Hayes.
See here, you young twerp. Will you kindly stop addressing me as though I were Dr. Gillespie?
Well, I'm really very sorry if it bothers you.
Well, it does, old man.
Well, okay, old man.
Now, see here, young fellas. Two Lionel Barrymores is too much. Sing, Dennis.
I never wrote a melody before. I never penned a lyric that could rhyme. But when I looked at you, a song came stealing through. That will live wherever hearts keep time. The whole world is singing my song, but I sing it only to you. The whole my dreams to music, I learned how song could star. I gave the world the music, but I gave you my heart. The whole I gave the world the music, but I gave you my heart.
To make a wonderful romantic lead in musicals.
Yeah, but the trouble is, all the big musicals aren't written for tenors. They're for baritones like Sinatra, Como, Crosby, Haynes.
Yeah.
Gosh, aren't tenors people?
Sure.
Don't I pay taxes?
Yeah, but...
Ain't I human? Well, don't I live in a trailer like everyone else?
Dennis, you know, I think I have an idea for you.
I can sing. I can even make girls swoon.
Now, Dennis, this might be...
One time when I sang, they had to carry a lady out of the theater and take her to the hospital.
Dennis, look, I know that's true, and I wouldn't...
And not only that, but 2 hours later, she had a baby.
Dennis, what I was going to say was, I think I have the answer to the whole thing. For your voice and personality, you need the kind of musical that Johann Strauss used to do.
Dinah, that's exactly right. I need the kind of musical that Johann Strauss used to do.
Mm-hmm.
What kind did he used to do?
Well, they were delicate, old-fashioned operettas full of waltzes and charm. Here, now look, Peter and I will join you and give you an idea of the sort of thing I mean. Let's go back, say, 100 years or so, and our scene will be the well-known mythical kingdom of Dittendorten on the Danube. In the days of the waltz, our scene, the royal court. The prime minister, Peter von Hayes, approaches the king. He speaks.
Greetings, Your Majesty, Dennis von Winterbrust, King of all Dittendorten, Emperor of the Earth, Guardian of the Sun, Keeper of the Stars, and Monarch of the Moon.
You always leave out Notary Public. Very good morning, dear Royal Prime Minister Peter von Hayes. You wish something, perhaps, to request, dear?
Well, you see, Your Majesty, some papers to sign there is. First, here is the daily order for executions.
Let me see, there. 200 people to be beheaded, that makes 500 this week. Why so many, there?
You see, Your Majesty, we have to solve the housing shortage. And as for why we are hurrying, there are only 28 chopping days until Christmas. But now, Your Majesty, to serious matters. Your Majesty, the country is in a state of turmoil. I, von Hayes, can read the handwriting on the wall. And do you know what it says?
Von Kilroy was here?
No, trouble. The peasants are revolting, and there is only one way to put down the revolt. You must take a wife.
Take a wife where?
Your Majesty, you must marry. Then the peasants in their joy will cease revolting. And I have chosen your wife. You will marry my sister.
But she's even more revolting than the peasants.
But you must marry her, sire. Little does he know that when this marriage takes place, destroy him I shall.
Little does he know that here am I can. Now listen, von Hayes.
Your Majesty.
Who are you?
Please don't shoot me. I'm a little peasant matron. Poor, but beautiful.
Oh, well. What is this, a peasant with a petition? I can't understand this with guards around the moat, guards around the drawbridge, guards at the windows. How did you get in here?
Through the door.
Oh, I knew we overlooked something.
Oh, Your Majesty, I come to plead for food for the people, for...
What'll I say, von Hayes?
Why don't you just say...
No, von Hayes, I will not do it. I will not again say, let him eat cake. I'm always telling the people, let him eat cake. Darn it, I'm the king. Why don't I ever eat cake?
Oh, mighty King Dennis, you won't let the people starve. Your face is so kind and intelligent and wise.
Yeah, my face. I will stop starvation. I will pass a law against it.
Wonderful.
Starvation in Dittendorten is now illegal.
Bravo.
From now on, anyone caught starving will be arrested.
Oh, noble king, from now on, no longer will you be known as Dennis the Drip. You will really reign.
Oh, that's a joke. Say, I think cute you are. Why don't you I marry? What's your name now?
Oh, your majesty. So sudden this is. My name is Dinah, but my friends call me Schnapsy.
How sickening. My friends call me Strudel. Ah, Schnapsy, you are everything I ever wanted in a wife. And besides that, you're a girl, too.
Oh, come, your majesty, have you gone utterly mad? You can't marry this peasant, this commoner. You are a king.
Yes, but I've always been democratic.
Sure? Sure, on these days, Democrats can't afford to be too particular.
You are so right.
And now, Strudel, that I know you really love me, I have a surprise. Here, under this peasant blouse, I am wearing a royal robe. Dennis, king of Ditton-Dorton. I am Dinah, queen of Dorton-Ditton.
Holy smoke, a queen. You're the queen from Dorton-Ditton down there. See, when we get married, we can join our two countries. We'll combine Ditton-Dorton with Dorton-Ditton.
And what will be called the new country?
Let's see, Dorton-Ditton, Ditton-Dorton. Mm-hmm. I got it.
What is it?
Azusa.
No, now, your majesty, I...
Away with you. You think you can run a whole country just because you have bushy eyebrows?
Well spoken, Dennis. Sing to me, my love.
Right.
I never knew a girl like you. I'm such a schmoo. Got no IQ.
Don't feel so blue. Here's what to do. Just put your two lips to mine. Oh, and we'll pitch hoop.
Oh, oh!
Which hundreds of years later caused people to write songs like For Sentimental Reasons. I love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I give you my heart. Now we take you to New York, where the noted editor and commentator, Mr. Henry LaCassette, is waiting to speak to you. Okay, New York and Henry LaCassette.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Yesterday I saw a man write on a steel plate. He wrote a letter of the alphabet and a few numbers. That's all. But in so doing, he set in motion the miracle of mass production that ended only with an automobile being driven off the assembly line. The man wrote on the steel plate with a metal stylus. The letter and the numbers were then carried by teleautograph to various parts of the assembly plant and inscribed on paper in recording machines. This told what type of car it would be, what color, and so on. Then, in response to these numbers, parts begin moving from everywhere in the plant toward the final assembly. The frame begins its journey along the 1,000-foot assembly line that carries it through the great plant. Now the axles are lowered and fitted into place. Now the motor, the steering wheel, the body, all the rest, until the 15,000 parts of the car are all in place. Finally, the car is driven from the end of the line into the rain tunnel, where an artificial downpour tests it for leaks. After that, it is ready. The thing that began with the writing on steel is now a complete automobile. I saw all this at the great assembly plant of the Ford Motor Company in Dearborn, Michigan. All over the country, at other Ford plants, the same process is going on. Day in, day out, Ford is building cars and trucks for you as fast as it can. And now, back to the Ford Show and Dinah Shore in Hollywood.
Okay, thank you, Mr. LaCassette.
My eye feel on you. What's the good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. He's gonna pop me that question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you.
Oh, buttermilk sky.
Oh, buttermilk sky.
I'm telling you why.
Now you know, keep it in mind tonight. Keep a brushing those clouds out of sight. Oh, buttermilk sky. Don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above the hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love.
He's gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do?
It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you. Oh, buttermilk sky.
Oh, buttermilk sky.
Don't you fail me when I'm needing
you
most.
Don't you fail me when I need you.
Hang a moon above the hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try. Don't you tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight?
Buttermilk sky.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back again next week, and our guest will be that wonderful Gene Kelly. Dennis, it was so wonderful. Me too, girl. Dennis, it was so wonderful having you, and if I didn't get a chance to tell you, your new show is simply wonderful.
Thank you, Dinah.
Hey, see you around, Dennis.
Good night, Peter. Good night, Dinah. Good night, Mr. McNulty. Good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Why Mrs. Calabash?
I'm still mad at Mary.
Good night, folks.
Dennis Day appeared through the courtesy of the Colgate-Palmolive Feed Company.
And be with us again next Wednesday night when the Ford dealers and Lincoln Mercury dealers of America again bring you Dinah Shore with Peter Lynn Hayes and Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra. Our guest will be Gene Kelly. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you, one and all, for making the Radio Theater Channel's Thanksgiving Parade of Shows a part of your special day. When we here at the RTC name what we're thankful for, our wonderful listeners always make the list. To you and yours, from us at the RTC, have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.